Hi there, my name is Jamie Mackay and I lead the Postgraduate Learning and Teaching programmes at the Royal Conservatoire of Scotland. The following podcast is part of a series of interviews with graduates of the part-time M.Ed in Learning and Teaching in the Arts programme. This programme is delivered on a blended learning model but can also be studied fully remotely. All participants on the programme have a role as an arts educator and the programme is designed to help them develop their teaching practice and their arts practice, and it culminates in a self-designed final project. For more information on the programme, check the website on rcs.ac.uk/med. In this podcast, I'm very pleased to be talking to Penny Chivas. Originally from Ngunnawal country, Australia, Penny's a dance artist who moved to Glasgow in 2010. As a freelance performer, she's worked on a variety of projects, including work with Ian Spink, Plan B and Scottish Opera, and has taught at the RCS, City Moves, Y Dance, Fusion Youth Dance Company, alongside her international guest teaching in countries such as Iran, China, Mexico, Italy and Australia, in both community and professional settings. Could you introduce yourself and say a little about your current role as an arts educator?
All right. So my name is Penny Chivas and I'm a dance artist based in Glasgow. I move between being an artist and an arts educator. I normally use the term, dance artist because I feel like it encompasses my artistic practice forming how I teach and then what I learn from teaching informing how I am in my arts practice. I come from a background of, originally conservatoire style training, and then I went into things like improvisation, conduct improvisation. Most recently, I've been heavily influenced by climate change and the need to address this, particularly as an Australian, it really hits home. And so I've just finished the M.Ed program at the Conservatoire and looking for ways to share my knowledge and also to share the arts practice that I developed further during that time.
So when you're working with learners, what is your goal?
What is my goal? So I think there are goals that are specific to a session. So there might be something about engaging or learning with a specific task or a specific theme. But then I think outside of that, there are overarching goals, which would be things around inclusion, about encouraging people to feel safe, but from that safe place, being able to extend themselves. Also for me, it's really important, the sense of community and collaboration between participants.
So what barriers get in the way of achieving that goal?
What barriers? So mainly things like time, and that's not necessarily time in a class. It would be time to prepare or time from when I found out I'm teaching a specific class to delivering it, which is also in my sector, because I'm often working in informal settings and reliant on Creative Scotland funding in some shape or form, then that becomes about time, how much time I'm given to prep, which is a tricky thing to say, because obviously that impacts the learners, how much you prep or you don't prep. But, we also have to take a reality check in the current climate as well.
So what strategies do you use to help you achieve your goal and or deal with those barriers?
So my current strategy is to do more guest teaching than ongoing teaching. And so by that, you're more or less delivering a similar class plan, but in different settings. And the class plan obviously develops and adapts to those in the room, as well as understanding more how to explain in a better way what we're doing, or different ways, a more verbal way, or a way that might be more appropriate to work with, say, a BSL interpreter, or to be outside or inside. And that also, because that often comes with a higher rate of pay as a guest teacher. So there's that. And then the other thing is to go and ask for funding directly myself and to write the funding grants, which also has its own time pressures. But there's a lot of low-paid dance teaching work out there. Yeah.
Okay, so how do you measure your success as an arts educator?
Oh. So I think there's maybe two ways, and one would be how often I get asked to teach, or what are the variety of situations that I'm asked to teach in, because I pride myself in being able to go into different places and to work in community and to work in like professional and kind of like the conservatoire, teach the dance students there, for example. So the variety of places that I get asked to teach, and then also feedback from the people inside the class. And that might be verbal, or it might be something that I can see as well, how they have changed.
And how would you describe the ideal relationship between you and your learner?
I feel like this is an interesting one, because if it was an ongoing class, then I would be far more interested in that, developing that relationship and really understanding what the learner wants to learn and what their access and inclusion needs might be. But if you're going to do a guest teaching, then I think it's more about setting a framework where people could feel comfortable to express their needs, because we don't necessarily have time to go into much detail. So it's somehow making the space where people feel able to collaborate between each other and also with me as the teacher.
So what job title are you most comfortable with?
Dance artist.
Okay, great. What three values are central to your practice as an arts educator?
I would say to stay current. That's important to me. To be able to draw from a variety of skills and practices. And then also to help people to feel like they are making change or able to make change. And I don't know if that's like contemporary dance technique or whether that's on the world or planting seeds, but that something shifts or can shift, yeah.
Okay. So slightly different shift here. If you could have a mentor from any time in history, real or fictional, to support your arts education practice, who would you choose?
I think the one that springs to mind is Nancy Stark Smith. He's one of the people that really pushed forwards contact improvisation. I studied with her a number of times before she passed away, but she had a real special knack of working with both community and professional and making sure that everyone felt challenged.
So if you could ask her one question, what would it be?
I guess that would be something about, with everything that goes on and teaching in such a variety of situations, how easy is it to come back to the satisfaction of teaching?
And how do you think she would answer?
I think she would probably say something about the richness of the practice that she taught. Yeah. She taught it for something like 40 odd years. So, yeah.
Okay. It's the final question. Is there anything else you'd like to say about your arts education practice?
No, just I think outside of this course, I don't use that word arts education. And I think that's often got to do with that, I don't know, maybe education is part and parcel of being a dance artist or working in informal settings, but it's for me to use that term, it feels like I separate myself from being an artist. Yeah.
That's really helpful, really useful. Thank you. Thank you, Penny, for all your responses. Really enjoyed hearing your perspective on them.
Thanks.
For more podcasts in this series, go to portal.rcs.ac.uk/arts-educator-interviews.